baptized and born again. Amen. I think we're going to see a lot of baptisms and a lot of folk getting born again in these coming days as the harvest is granted unto us. Amen. And the Lord is, he's looking. Hang on, I'm okay. I didn't go nowhere. I bet that was pretty wild on live stream. I bet that was like an earthquake. How was that? Y'all okay in live stream? Y'all still there? Somebody just spilled their communion juice or something. I want to check that. Yeah, everything's being shaken, man. I want to check that one out later. Hey, are we good? That's hilarious. Judah, I didn't know you was an American Indian. I never saw you so red before in my life. I know we had Indian blood, but that was full-blooded Apache right there. Just messing. I'm still okay. I'm here. Anyways, all right. Where was I before the earthquake? Sometimes when that train comes by, here I'm in my office, you think there's an earthquake going on. That thing is moving, man. That thing's shaking the ground. But anyways, we're here and we are alive. I ought to put that on YouTube. They're like, what happened to Livonia, man? God was moving. He is moving. He was moving. We were moving too, weren't we? All right. Well, that's a segue. Father, thank you again for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for our time together. We bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Oh, wow. You never know what's going to happen at Ignited Church. You just got to get ready for it all. All right, let's go over some review from last time we got together in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's been a blessing so far, and I think it's going to get gooder and gooder as we head on down the road. But anyhow, we were in chapter 16, and I'm going to go over just a few of the notes. I'm not going to reread chapter 16. That was really long. But we were talking about the tenderness and the freshness of the time of the year, which was dealing with spring. Remember that word I gave you? Abib. It's kind of hard to pronounce. A-B-I-B. And it means to be tender and to be fresh. That was talked about in verse 1, and which basically said, observe the month of Abib and keep, everybody say keep, the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, it says that the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt when, by night. And so there was to be that reminder. And one thing, I don't know if I spoke this or reiterated this, but it's very important to remember that a lot of your salvation has to do with remembrance. When I say a lot of your salvation, I mean your experience with God, your life with him, discipleship is remembrance. Just keeping yourself reminded of how good he is. You know, most of your battles can be won by just remembering what God did, because the true battle of your life and my life is in the mind. That's the battle. That's the battlefront. That's the battle arena is your mind. And it's been a while since I've taught on teaching or have taught on the teaching of renewing the mind. That's a great teaching because so many of us need that. And when you renew the mind, you'll renew the way you talk, and the way you talk will help renew the mind. So it's a powerful thing. It's nothing spooky. It's just it's the word of God. And so we need to do that. But so remembrance. And he was trying to establish within their hearts the ability to remember. And we need to do that, especially like right now. You know, it's funny how when this plague is hitting the world, people all of a sudden, learn how to pray again. Some of y'all maybe get contact from family or friends wanting to get with you again. You might end up seeing people at church you haven't seen in a while or what have you. Now all of a sudden people are going to start talking about healing and prayer and the prayer of faith. You know, because what they do is they have God in a little box in case of emergency, break glass. You know, but true salvation, true relationship is He ain't in no box for me. I ain't got to break nothing. All I got to do is call on his name. Amen. And always be in remembrance of what he's done. So that was something we talked about. Jesus is our Passover lamb. We're going to get into that a little more. Salvation, again, I told you, the life of remembrance. That's so powerful. I like to camp out there because we really got to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us. Verse 4 spoke of leaven being what? Sin. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. You know, some people want to see how much sin they can get away with and still be saved or still go to church or whatever. I want to see how far away I can get. I want to see how close I can get to God. I want to be like Enoch that was, but he was not, because God took him. He just got so close to God. God's like, come on, boy, let's go. You can't go any higher, son. Jump up my hand. Let's go. You know, that's an amazing story, but it's a truth. And then there's just people that they just want to push the envelope. Verse 5 through 7, we talked about the place. Everywhere we're seeing this, the place, the place, the place, where he puts his name, where he chooses. Man, we got to get that in our hearts, that God wants us to be at the place that he chooses and that he calls us to be. And you say, well, how do I know where that place is? Well, you know when that place is when there's confirmation in your spirit. There's confirmation in your spirit. There's confirmation from the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God preached. You're feeling the presence of God. If you're looking for something outside of that perimeter and looking for a perfect place, you're never going to find it. You're just not going to find it. I mean, your neighbor next to you is not perfect, believe me. And the guy standing before you is far from perfect. All right, verse 8 through 12, the Feast of the Weeks, the Feast of the Pentecost, all these things Jesus fulfilled. And I want you to write down John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Come on, and it dwelt among us. Okay, so I want you to just have that in your notes. That was from last time. I didn't get to John chapter 1, verse 14, I don't believe. But the Word was made flesh. So you're going to see, this is what's cool, and that'll be our jump into tonight's teaching, because we're going to stay in Deuteronomy 16, because we're going to talk about the feast. But that leads into that, because the Word became flesh. And as I shared with you, the feast that we're going to teach on was the word that God spoke to the children of Israel. It was something prophetic for them to do and practical application, but it was prophetically symbolic of Jesus. And so that word that God said, I want you to fulfill these feasts, became flesh in Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled all of those things, which is really, really awesome, because it shows you the exactness of God. One of our limitations in faith and one of our limitations in humanity of relating to God is that we can't understand sometimes his exactness. Let me step over here. His exactness, because we are people who miss it. We don't measure good. We don't count good. We don't do these things good. We wiggle here. We waggle there. We give a little here. We give a little there. We can't see as far. We don't know as much. But God is exact, and he's beyond exact. He's beyond our imaginations and comprehensions. And so many times we look at the Word of God, and we look at our relationship with God, and we can't see the exactness in him, the absolute of him. And when we do that, and when we sell ourselves short from who he is and what he can do, we find ourselves in this subtraction from what he wants to do in us, because we just can't see him in the totality. Does that make sense? And so when we find him in the Word and we see the exactness of him, then we begin to understand and recognize and realize that if Jesus died upon the cross for just one person, it is for me. If he's going to have an awesome relationship with anybody, it's going to be me. He said him. I say me. Who do you say? You, me, you, hey. You know, and when you do that, you make it personal, and you say, I understand the exactness of God, the absolute of God. That's powerful, and that's how you grow in your relationship. Some say, well, you know, that's prideful. That's not prideful. That's just knowing who God is and who God is in you. That's just knowing that he has a special relationship with you, and he has a special relationship with everybody else. But I can't live your relationship. I love you, sweetie, but I can't live your relationship. You got to go pursue God. All I can do is be that living testimony and that book in front of everybody and say, here am I. This is the way I live. You got to choose if you want to follow Christ. Like Paul said, what? Follow me as I follow Christ. If you want to follow that pattern, go for it, and you'll get the benefits like Paul had. So John chapter 1, verse 14, again, God, the word was made flesh. Jesus became flesh, obviously, but through these different festivals and feasts, we get to see that. So let's talk about that. Just a little bit of going back over my last notes with you. Those specific feasts were the Feast of Passover. Hopefully you have that. That was the remembrance of the wonderful deliverance of the Hebrews from Egypt. Okay. The Feast of Pentecost, which also was called the Feast of Harvest and the Feast of Weeks. You can find that in Exodus 34:22. And I encourage you to really go back and look at Scripture and study some of the things, because I'm going to give you as much information as I can on a Wednesday and the several Wednesdays. But really, this is a lifetime of study. You really can go more and more into it. The Feast of Weeks, which was Exodus 34:22, was celebrated 50 days after Passover to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. It was also called what? Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost. Okay? What happened? This is really cool. Watch this. So on Mount Sinai, what happened? We had Moses getting the law, thunder, lightning, the fire of God, right? The presence of God. Is that right? After Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven 50 days later. Pentecost came. What happened? On the day of Pentecost, fire came. The thunder came. I mean, the explosion of God came. So with Moses came the law, but through Jesus came grace. So grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is access, and grace is power, and grace is another form of the anointing. I'm graced. When you receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, you receive graces of God to be able to do things supernaturally that you naturally cannot do. So Moses brought the law, right, which was the word spoken, but Jesus became the manifestation of that word, because John 1:14, he became flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among men. And so on the day of Pentecost, the power of God comes in the same manner, and now we receive the grace of God. We receive the Spirit of grace in a mighty way on the outpouring of the day of Pentecost. But do you see the exactness? It was exact. It was exactly 50 days from the day that Jesus ascended until he told them to tarry you where? In Jerusalem, in the upper room. Is that right? And you shall receive power from the Holy Ghost. And that Spirit shall come upon you. Exactness. So if God is exact, then why do we live in such a lifestyle prophetically, and we live in a Christianity to where, you know, we just can't trust God? We can't trust him because we're not sure if he's going to show up. Now, you may not, and I may not pick you up right on time every time, but God will be there on time. It's his time. Didn't say your time, but it's on his time. And so there's an exactness of God that I wanted to teach you here in these different feasts, because it is what God was trying to establish. He was trying to establish, number one, the remembrance for the children of Israel. He was also trying to establish the exactness of his faithfulness and the exactness of who Jesus is and what he would do through these festivals, feasts, you can call them that, and celebrations. I like to call them celebrations. Remember last time we got together? Man, he celebrates. He parties down. Yeah, he does. Come on. It's Kool-Aid. It's punch. And it's, you know, it's good stuff, clean stuff. But he loves to party. He loves to be with his people. And I think we have just totally ruined the aspect of celebrating with God. All right. So this is the 50 days. We talked about that. The Greeks, they call it Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles is called the Feast of the Ingathering, was celebrated about the 15th of the month of Tishri to commemorate the Israelites dwelling in tents 40 years. Again, does that apply to you and I? Yeah, it applies to us to be in remembrance because, you know what? We dwelt in tents. And in fact, we should be thinking about it now because basically we're living this polluted tent. One day we're going to leave this place. One day we're going to go. Boop, we gone. One day we're going to leave this bondage, this bags. We're going to leave all this stuff and we're going to get a glorified body. Somebody say amen. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. We're going to leave this wandering. We're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham was looking for. Well, that's what we're looking for. So it's a reminder of that. Leviticus 23:34. Write these down because you need to go back and spend some time and study Leviticus 23:34. Because when I get done with this teaching, a lot of that's going to make great understanding to you. And the hard part about the Old Testament is if you don't study the fulfillment of the New Testament, you won't understand what is hidden there. Okay? So you got to have a good balance, and we're going to get that tonight and throughout these next couple Wednesdays. Let's see what else we got here. So here's some of the reasons why for the festivals was to keep the memory of those great events and the wonders that he had brought for his people. Okay, so one example I told you was the Sabbath. You know, we don't go by, like many people, they get very religious and they get really mad. They get mad at me all the time about the Sabbath. I don't, my whole life is a Sabbath because Jesus is my Sabbath. I enter into him. I try to set a day aside always to find rest for my body if I possibly can, but my rest is in him. But the Sabbath was created in this example of remembrance of what God did in his creation. It isn't necessarily for me to rest. It's to be in remembrance of what he did. Does that make sense? I still got to occupy while he comes. Is it healthy to take a break? Absolutely. Recreation. It's called recreation. It's really called recreation. You recreate your life. You recreate. You charge up your batteries. I encourage everybody in the house to do that. Take some time, except Sunday. You can't do that on Sunday. At least from 10:30 to 1, you got to be in church. Then you can relax. Some of y'all relax anyways. But anyways, hit your neighbor and say, I'm talking to you. Come on. But like I always say, I'm going to pass out pillows on this flight. But you got to bring your own peanuts. I don't think they give peanuts on flights anymore, do they? I don't plan on going on no flight. But anyways, the point is it's a part of remembering. It's a part of knowing what the Lord has done and saying, Lord, I celebrate that. The Sabbath, I got it and all that, but people get really religious and they get really full of ritual, and I'm not going to get into that tonight, but that was one of the things. So the Sabbath brought forth the remembrance of creation. Passover is a departure from Egypt. For you and I, it's different. It's not the departure from a physical Egypt. It's from a spiritual Egypt. We were delivered from the Pharaoh, the devil, the bondage, sin, drugs, whatever we all been through, alcohol, those type of things. Pentecost, the giving of the law. The Feast of Tabernacles, the sojourning of the fathers in the wilderness, and being faithful to these ceremonies was so important to the children of Israel. And the third thing there was to procure them lawful pleasures and necessary rest. In other words, God said, if you'll follow these things, I'm going to bless you. If you follow these festivals, I'm going to bless you. And here's something else. You're going to understand what time it is. You're going to understand what time it is. Most believers, and I alluded to this kind of in the beginning of my teaching, most believers don't know the exactness of God, and therefore they can't trust him, and they have no idea what time it is. For an example, and I'll get to that in another teaching, you know, everybody's talking about the coming of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. The Lord cannot come until the exact time. The Lord cannot come into the exact time. Oh, man, you just blew it. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry, your theology just went out the window, but let's stay biblical. I would rather have my heart rooted in truth than some fable and then be discouraged and say, well, where's the Lord at? He's only going to come at a specific time because it's exact, and I'll get into it. And that's just a little carrot to throw towards maybe a week or two from now. I don't know how close I can get to that, but I just wanted to wet your whistle and make you mad because I didn't tell you what it was. But that'll get you to come back, won't it? Absolutely. But the mindset is, because we think God is going to do this and do that, and he doesn't do it like we think and like we're taught, we get upset with God, don't we? Yes, we do. We get upset with God because we think he should be on our time clock, and he's not on our time clock, okay? And I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. And Amos 3:7, I want you to write that down. That's an awesome scripture. He don't do anything until he reveals it to his prophets first. I'm paraphrasing it, but God doesn't do anything until he reveals it to his prophets first. Well, who's he talking about? The prophets of old. He's talking about the word of God. He's talking about what he did with Moses by speaking these festivals, these feasts that will become who Jesus is. They will be fulfilled in Jesus. He doesn't do anything until he tells his prophets first. And they prophesied the coming of the Lord through these particular prophetic symbolisms, which we're going to go over right now and get into a little deeper. Is that cool? Very cool. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back there real quick. Let's go back to the beginning. You don't have to keep your hand there or finger there in 16 anymore, because we're going to go over now this understanding. Now, I gave you the word the last time for feast, so let's talk about that for just a second. Let me know when you're in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. It's on page 3 in my Bible. What page is it on yours? You want to hear disunity in the church? 6, 8, 5, 1, 2. Verse 14. Here we go. Y'all do have verse 14 in your Bible, right? Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. Everybody say signs. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So signs. Let it be for signs, for times, and for seasons and days and years. Now that word there for seasons is the same word that I gave you before, which is, I'm going to spell it for you, M-O-A-D-I-M. Or Moad, M-O-E-D, Moed, Moad, however you want to pronounce that. It's M-O-E-D, but it comes from this longer word, M-O-A-D-I-M, okay, is where they get the word feasts from. So in creation, let me go slow so I can explain it really well. When God created the heavens and the earth, he said, I'm going to use these lights, I'm going to use the moon, I'm going to use my stars, I'm going to use the lights that I'm creating for them to be dividers of day and night, but they're also going to be for signs, for feasts, and for days and years. So God says, I'm going to give you an understanding of where I'm headed throughout the years to come, through the heavens, through feasts. Another aspect of that definition is called omens. And so God says, I'm establishing this not in astrology, but astronomy. Astrology is different. Astrology is of the devil. That's witchcraft. Don't get involved in it. Don't get involved in horoscopes. Don't get involved in signs. What's your sign? Hey, man, my sign is the cross. And I don't have a sign. Well, when were you born? It doesn't matter when I was born. None of your business. You know, I mean, people get all crazy about it. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about astronomy and God using the stars, using the lights, using the moon, what have you, for these festivals and for timekeeping. So in the beginning, God set up an eternal time clock, if you will, for creation to understand what time is it, okay? And so in that, and we'll fast forward as you get into the feasts, God is placing for the children of Israel these signs, these festivals, these feasts, so they know what time it is. If you know Passover's coming up, then you know it's the time of freshness. It's in the spring. You know that this is the time of the year. You don't need a calendar. You don't need a clock. You don't need any way of knowing because it's already there. And so the children of Israel were very, very keen, like the sons of Issachar. They knew what to do. They knew the signs and the times. They knew the seasons. They knew what to do for Israel. The problem with us is we've become so linear, if you will. We've become so dependent on things around us to tell us what time it is instead of going to God and finding out what time it is for Him. And how you find out is through the feasts. How you understand the time of the year is through the feast. And I'll give you one example before we move on to the first feast there. It's just like with Yom Kippur, you know, right coming up to the new year, which is in September. You know, we spend time seeking the Lord during that aspect because that's when the Lord starts the calendar. It's not January like we do here. That's a whole different system. So if we go and follow the system and the plan of God and the timing of God, then we know we're on His right schedule. That's why I say people get messed up and they think, well, God's got to do this and God's going to do that. And, well, I just feel this and I just feel that. And it's like you're not even in the right season with God. He's not up to that just yet. So people say, you know, I'm going to get out of here. We're going to get raptured. It's not time yet. It's not the season. It's not the season. It's a time to get busy. It's the time to work while it's yet light. Boy, that just blew some bubbles. Anyways. Oh, man, dude. No, and then you take them down the tribulation road, the revelation road, and you say, look, we got mile markers to go. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to see that because they have this make-believe Hollywood implication of what this is going to be like because some prophecy teacher said it, and it is totally out of whack from God's calendar. And you're going to find yourself just silly. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand, but I'll raise my hand. Many of us have said, you know, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Something bad happened. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. He didn't come. Come on, somebody. You've been saying it for 10 years, 15 years, whatever. A major event takes place. Something happens in Israel. Jesus is coming. And everybody looks at you like, really? You know, and Jesus don't come. It's one of our favorite things. I don't know if we use it as a, I don't know what Christian, I don't know. Maybe we just use it as a punchline. I don't know what it is. Jesus is coming. Okay. You know, the sinner's like, really? Oh. And he doesn't come. Because he's not going to come until it's time. Somebody says, will you get to that part? No, I'm not. I want to bring you back. I just, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And going back to this feast part, and we're going to talk about the Feast of Passover, it is the same thing. You can prove to people the coming of the Lord, that he already came. And you can show them that they fulfilled those feasts. All right, so let's move on. You ready? So that was the first thing I wanted you to see. So let me read you a few things. The first four of the seven feasts occur during the springtime. So write this down, during the springtime, so you know. Passover. Passover, we celebrate Resurrection Day. Unleavened bread. First fruits. And another festival is called, or feast is called Weeks. Okay, so you're writing down some things repetitiously, but it's in order and it's for a reason. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and weeks. All of them have already been fulfilled in the New Testament. the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All of them. Okay? The final three holidays or feasts out of that seven, are you ready? Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles, they all happened during the fall. And they're within like a short 15-day period. Okay, so your first four are in the spring, and your last three of the seven are in the fall. There's trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. Now, I know some of this is foreign, and people are like, well, you know, it just doesn't make a difference, or just what the Jews did, and that's just Old Testament, blah. No, it's extremely important, again, to know the timetable of God, to know the seasons of God, and you can actually watch international events take place and watch them metamorphosize before you into a fulfillment of prophecy during certain seasons of the year. In other words, there are certain things that are going to happen in Israel that are going to be exactly with the timing of God's prophetic clock. And nobody's going to change that. Nobody can hurry it. Nobody can delay it. It's all perfect timing. Okay? So I'm going to go into our first feast in a little more detail. Passover, Leviticus 23:5. You want to write that down again for your own studies? Passover, Leviticus 23:5. It pointed to Jesus, our Messiah, as the Passover. Jesus is the Passover lamb. They had the Passover lamb that was perfect, sprinkled the blood. The death angel passed over. Their children lived, they lived, and they were delivered. Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. That blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat of God. You and I receive that atoning blood, that atonement, as we go before him and ask him to forgive us of our sins. We are washed in the blood and we're redeemed. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth, and we are born again. Come on, somebody. The children of Israel were the old. It was a type and a shadow. They went underneath that blood, and they were saved. We received that blood through Jesus Christ, and we are saved. We're born again. Hallelujah. And he fulfilled that Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Let's go there real quick. Let's take a little ride. Flip on over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to turn to several scriptures so that you can see it yourself, read it yourself, and that'll build your faith. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So get out the sin. Get out the things that keep you from the relationship with God. And recognize and realize that the Passover lamb, which is Christ Jesus, he has been sacrificed. He's the one that takes away that sin. He's the one that takes away the unrighteousness. Can somebody say amen? Jesus was crucified during the time that the Passover was observed. Go to Mark chapter 14. See, that's why we have nothing to fear. You know, are you fearful of this plague that's coming, this virus? No. I'm more concerned about people acting stupid. I'm more concerned of government. I'm more concerned of people not using wisdom. Hello? I'm not worried about the schemes of the enemy. I'm not worried about judgment of these different things. We have the Passover lamb. We have the lamb who has shed his blood for us. I'm still going to use wisdom. I'm going to still do my part. I don't plan on getting together in a bouncy house with a bunch of folk, swapping spit and jumping up and down at McDonald's at a playground. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, people are doing some stupid things. They're getting all mad. They can't go to March Madness. They can't go to this rally. They can't. I'm like, just stay home and shut up. Amen. Just stay home. If you would just learn how to stay home and be content and play some Uno or Monopoly or Rummy or something, you'd have a good life. And you'd save some money. And you'd lose some weight. Come on now. They just got a server down in Waffle House in Atlanta with the virus. I don't go to Waffle House anyways. I ain't going to Waffle House. Is anybody here? Use your brain. Is that fearful? No. Be smart. Anyways, I had to say that. That's just absolute insane. I saw that Waffle House like, no wonder. Anyways, Mark, I know some of y'all swear by Waffle House, but if I wanted grease, I'd go get some Crisco. Verse 12. There'll be a fist. I already gave it to you. Mark chapter 14. Watch this. Mark chapter 14. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto them, where will thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? So Jesus participated in that Passover. He observed it because he knew the seasons and the time of God, but he became that Passover lamb. Okay? Again, do we have to go by these particular feasts for salvation? No. Do we do it in honor of God? Yes. We do it in remembrance. We remember the resurrection. We remember what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. We're mindful of it. Here at Ignited, we have communion and we celebrate the day. We give our best gift. It's the first fruit. Amen. And we bless the Lord and we say, thank you, Father. This is the best we can do for what you've did for us. Okay? Go to 1 Peter 1:19. 1 Peter 1:19. I know we have various levels of Bible understanding in this room. So please, if you've, read this before, read it again. It's good for you. You always get something new, don't you? I really believe that. Revelation breeds revelation. So 1 Peter, some of y'all are still mad because I messed with your Waffle House, but that's all right. 1 Peter 1. I'll get letters now. How dare you? I love Waffle. I met my wife there. Well, that's the best she could do. Watch this. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Read it again. But with the precious blood, what's he talking about? Verse 18. For as much as we know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, it wasn't feasts, it wasn't riches, it wasn't any type of religious trinkets or any type of false god. He says you're redeemed by what? With the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Jesus was perfect, right? Absolutely. No sin, no blemish, nothing about him. That was wrong. Just like the Passover lamb was supposed to be. And so Jesus fulfilled that. Now watch this. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I'm going to use feasts. I'm going to use these signs and these seasons and these time frames to show you where you are. And so he presents to the children of Israel when he finally gets man where he wants him to be. Watch this. At the place that he puts his name. Couldn't do it with Abraham because Abraham still wandered and had to get Abraham settled. Okay, then he he tried to do it, and this man messed up, and then God had to destroy this and start all over again. And then the children of Israel, what happens? They're in Egypt. Then he's got to get them out of Egypt. And once he gets them out of Egypt, then he does what? He's got to get Egypt out of them. Remember that. When you're born again, you come out of Egypt, but you're still carrying Egypt with you. That's why you must be discipled. That's why we got to get the habits out of you. We got to get these things out. Well, pastor's always mean. He always seems like he's... No, he's trying to get stuff out of you. God's trying to get Egypt out of you. Okay? I really believe in the coming days, as we watch the Lazarus generation be born again. So who's that? Those are the ones that are out there today in all of their paraphernalia and their clothing, whoever they are, the way they dress, whatever they do, and all inked up, all whatever, and just the way they are. They're going to come, and they're going to be like the Lazarus generation. They're still going to have the grave clothes on them. But we better love them like they are and help disciple them and say, you're free. You don't have to be that way anymore. And it's coming. That mighty move of God is coming. Okay, so he was the lamb without blemish, with no defect. All right? And his life was completely free of sin. You can go to Hebrews 4:15 because of time. I'll write that down and study it yourself. Hebrews 4:15. And so at the first Passover, marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery. Just as the death of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection, it represents our deliverance from the slavery of sin. Let's go to Romans 8:2, and we'll close with that. Romans 8:2. You know, it's one thing to just say he died on the cross and, you know, Jesus, and that it's over and get saved. But man, it's really cool to see the crimson thread that's all through the word that shows you who Jesus is and the exactness of God. Let's go to verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Read it again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you, say that's you, made me free from the law of sin and death. Just like the children of Egypt were free, the children of Israel were free from Egypt's bondage, you and I are free from Satan's bondage. We're free from sin. We're free from that law. We're free from the condemnation. We're free from the judgment of God saying, depart from me, I don't know you. We're free from that. And that is because of the Passover lamb. And Jesus fulfilled it to the exact day, the exact time frame. It wasn't in late summer. He wasn't crucified in the fall. He wasn't crucified at some other point. He was crucified on the feast day. He was crucified on the exact time frame, and he fulfilled it perfectly. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but if he fulfilled it then, why won't he fulfill it now? He will, because he's a God of exact. And if you don't know this about the Bible and you don't know about seasons and times and all these things, you're going to miss God and you're going to follow all these prophecy people who say, he's over there, he's coming. I thought I saw the sky split. No, it was your britches, honey. You're not going to see the sky split until the exact timing of it all. And I can't wait to talk to you about that, among other things, next time. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be with your people. I bless each and every one. Those, Father God, that are watching, bless them at their homes. Father, I ask for your protection over this house and over everybody connected to Ignited, over all our loved ones. I love them all, and I just pray your hedge of protection around them, warring ministering guardian angels. Give us wisdom, Father God, of what to do. There's certain places we don't need to go. There's certain things we don't need to buy. There's certain things that we don't need to go do. We need to preach. We need to reach the world. But there's things we need to use wisdom, and I pray that we will during this time, Father God, as death is in the air, and death is in our nation, it's here, and it's judgment. But you gave us life, and you gave it to us more abundantly. And now may we use it, Father God, may we use wisdom in it to glorify your name and win souls. In Jesus' name, amen.